Live on DAZN Worldwide, May 2nd and 3rd, Garcia versus Romero and Canelo versus Skull. Friday from 6 p.m. Eastern, Garcia returns in a history-making Times Square takeover. 24 hours later, Saturday from 7 p.m. Eastern, King Canelo faces undefeated Skull for the undisputed crown. May 2nd and 3rd, a knockout weekend of boxing. Pick one or go all in for only $90 exclusively on DAZN. Buy now at DAZN.com/boxing.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Tom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Philadelphia's Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, WPHT HD, WOGL HD3, Philadelphia. From the Piazza Premium Automobile Studios.
Powering your drive with 10 brands and 20 locations.
Always live on the free Odyssey app. Dom time. Now, Dom Giordano.
All right, it is Dom time. What a wild first hour. Larry Kudlow with us. And somebody calls him, we get knocked off. Good stuff. Great guest.
Well, that's what happens when you call it sauce.
Yes, that's right. The sauce gravy thing continues. And yesterday, I thought we took care of all the family business. I heard that Nick Cale, I was told today, took care of some of it locally with a local host going after Saquon Barkley, and Nick straightening that up. But I'm going to straighten it up not just with this Les Bowen guy who used to cover the Eagles for the Inquirer and is a white guy, going after a black man because he played golf with Trump and because he thinks he's adult. I'd love to get Les Bowen on and ask him a few geopolitical questions, Les, to see what you know. Trying to tell us that Saquon Barkley and what he said, hey, it's the office, is the same as Reggie White when he went on that rampage with the Wisconsin legislature. He's calling him a dope. This guy was the Inquirer guy. So Keith Boykin, who is an African-American pundit and sometimes used in really mainstream circumstances, he goes after Barkley and he goes after him saying, well, you know, your skin color is not going to rub off. You're not going to be able to get rid of it. And he also goes after him for raising biracial children, his wife or his significant other. I think he's getting married, but I'm not sure.
Fiance
is white. And this comes into question now. I mean, what world or throwback is Bull Connor over there at the Inquirer? I don't know. And I'd love to hear from you. We have people call that are Latino, one favorite, a female caller, that's unbelievable. Or we have African-American callers, black callers. I think maybe a few that are Asian. How difficult it is, and he's not even a conservative Saquon Barkley. If anything, I've never heard him say anything. He strikes me as kind of apolitical, but I'm not sure. He doesn't talk about stuff like that. And we actually told you about a headline yesterday from Marcus Hayes, who won't come on the show. That's fine. I mean, if Marcus Hayes thought that was rough and tumble in 2016, that's just talk radio, Marcus, which you do. That's normal. You can't talk about that headline. Is Saquon Barkley going to be destroyed, essentially, I'm paraphrasing, because of this? What? I haven't seen the jersey sales. I'm going to wait a week to see where they are versus Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts is the guy that has to be asked about this. If Jalen Hurts said, I'm not going there because I think President Trump is so out of bounds on critical issues. If he wants to say race, if he wants to say transgender, if he wants to say whatever it might be, even if I don't agree with him, that's doing it on principle. But Jalen Hurts is saying he has a scheduling conflict. That's ridiculous. We've been through this. There's no scheduling conflict when it's with the office of the presidency of the United States. You could say, I hate that guy. I don't want to go. Why would I go? I'm not political. Why would I do that? There's too much of this. And now you have another whole group of people out there that are saying, and Laura Ingraham, I think, went a little far with this in the context of it with LeBron James. The phrase used to be, shut up and sing. And then the phrase is, shut up and play. No, I don't say that. If somebody as an athlete, I'll tell you where I draw the line, wants to comment on something, that's fine, they can do it. They don't have a right, though, to do it, in my view, in the playing of the game, in their workplace. You know, the taking a knee for hatred of cops, that sort of stuff. That's where I think it's over the line. But aside from that, if they want to say, I hate Trump, I despise all the stuff they want to, if people work into an interview, their Christian faith or whatever their faith is, I think they have a right to do that. The guys interview him, they can say, well, we don't do that here, end of interview, or they can continue. So I don't tell athletes to shut up and play. They have a right to their own opinion, too. But Barkley is not making a political statement gushing with Trump. They have in their head, though, that Trump is other. In their mind, he is so outside the norm, even if they don't say Hitler, that you just cannot give him, by playing golf with him, by laughing at a joke, you're giving cover to something that's a menace and has to be sealed off. But when you go after a guy's wife and biracial children, as this Boykin guy did, it's stunning to me. There's just no allowance, first of all, to be a black conservative. We're still in that mode. But somebody that supports Trump, immediately you're called Antonio Brown. Let's go through this list. Is Saquon Barkley Antonio Brown? Is he ever given a public spectacle of a guy who appears to have all kinds of mental issues?
Are they suggesting that...
That's what Marcus Hayes said.
Saquon...
Yes.
Saquon going golfing with Trump is a result of CTE, essentially?
No.
But if you read between the lines, that's what he's saying, though.
No, he's saying he's being used as a dupe of all these circus-like characters like Mike Tyson, Antonio Brown, and we talked about this one yesterday, too, Kanye West. To put a guy this normal, beloved, and just no hint of any kind of scandal in any way, shape, or form, or anything crazy in the league of these guys associated with Trump. And they have editors over at the Inquirer. They're going down this path. And yet, they can't wait to lionize Jalen Hurts, who's the one that exhibits to me, not principle, just somebody taking the easy path, and in Philadelphia, he's going to be celebrated. Just tell us why you wouldn't go explicitly. Can you make that argument? No, I respect the office, but I can't respect it with this guy there. Okay. Now, I still think he would get widespread support in Philadelphia. I think neither one of them. Are people going to boo Saquon Barkley or scream anything with him about Trump? Yeah, you have some knuckleheads here and there. But overall, Philadelphia Eagles could do anything, usually, but particularly when they won the Super Bowl. It's beyond anything imaginable. They're golden beyond that. So I think this never starts or blows over. But it's more of a lesson to how far these guys can go. Bowen, the local guy, Marcus Hayes, Boykin, when you're bringing up a guy's wife or fiance here and children, biracial at work, it's, and Hayes put at the end, yeah, you might like Saquon Barkley, but you wouldn't let him date your daughter. Goodness. I don't know what country, where they are. Sure, there's still some people out there that would not be happy if your daughter was shows up with Saquon Barkley. But the tiny, minute nature of this, to imply that that's still America, that we haven't gotten past this, by and large, or that you would be identified as something wrong with you if you wouldn't want a guy like that around, is stunning. What America do they see? All they see is you can't have anything to do with Trump in any way, shape, or form. That's it. And the Inquirer has 25, 30 printed pages today about the first 100 days here in Philadelphia. And they talk about how people here illegally are feeling insecure. My take is, well, I can understand that. They're here illegally. I mean, you know, and it's things they cite, well, they couldn't do this parade with a lot of people that are here illegally. Well, I don't want you blatantly doing parades. If you're here illegally, you should pretty much be quiet about it and hoping that there's no angst toward you and you just move on with your life.
You're here next week and down there doing a parade of shoplifters.
Yeah.
You didn't get the memo?
I did not get that. But tomorrow we're going to talk with the local head of the AFL-CIO around 1230, 1245. What's the name, Henry? Did you see?
Yeah, hold on. I have it in front of me.
Yeah, okay. Because I'm not sure if I know the local guy. And look, when we do this, my idea is always we want debate here. They're bringing Bernie Sanders here, and not just any day, but they're bringing him on well, that's tomorrow.
Yeah. It's President Danny Bowder.
I don't know that I know him. Okay.
I might be saying that wrong.
Yeah, I used to debate the AFL-CIO guy statewide. But bringing Bernie Sanders here on May Day is an interesting choice. Does that reflect AFL-CIO? SEIU, yes. Building trades, no. I'm not sure about the AFL-CIO.
Will they direct him to the right side of the podium this time?
Yeah, right. Will he have his back to the crowd since he's mugging for the camera? Do you know what time it is, Henry? Or did he say? Is
we've
it 4 o'clock?
12:45.
No, I mean
the parade. I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's around. I'm hoping to get over there to see this spectacle. Do I really believe? Now, we played it for you last week. This building trades union guy who had his roots in Philadelphia as a national head pleading to bring Mr. Garcia home. And these guys jumped up and they talked about, yes, Mr. Garcia is one of us. He's a brother. Don't hear much about that. Daily Caller's got an expose. The people, remember those four representatives, two of them from Florida, that went there to stand with Van Hollen? They all stayed at a five-star, didn't know there was a five-star hotel, a Hilton in El Salvador, with a view of a volcano, with spa treatments, etc. So these phonies, when's Madeleine Dean going to go there? Dean, you told us you would go there on your own dime. When are you flying to El Salvador to stand with Mr. Garcia? At 1:30, Dan tells me we're going to talk with this Brown student who's in big trouble. He ought to be saluted, though, because he is doing his own Doge. He actually sent, through AI, about 3,000 Brown University employees, hey, what do you do every day? Oh, man, like Elon Musk did. Can you imagine at your college asking, hey, that administrator, what do you do all day? He'll break all that down. I love with this kid, a sophomore at Brown, and Brown costs $90,000 a year. But I am going to ask him, why spend $90,000 a year? All right, Elon Musk was in the cabinet meeting. I never liked this look. He had on his Elon Musk hat, the black hat, and he put...
This is a pretty long clip. We should probably knock out this break first.
All right, we'll play it. And he had on his Gulf of America hat over it, which is a weirdo look. He's not seated in the front of the cabinet row, but he's on the shoulder of Bessent. Bessent's like, this guy's right behind me here. And when they went to him, everybody in the room, oh, there's Elon. All right, here's what Musk said about the first 100 days. Okay. Got that?
Hold on.
Yeah. All right.
The American people voted for secure borders, safe cities, and sensible spending. And that's what they've gotten.
A tremendous amount has been accomplished in the first 100 days. As everyone has said, it's more than it has been accomplished in any administration before, ever, period. This portends very well for what will happen for the rest of the administration. I think this could be the greatest administration since the founding of the country.
Well, we all want to thank you for your help. You really have sacrificed a lot. You've been treated very unfairly.
Well, they did like to burn my cars, which is not great.
But you have been treated unfairly. But the vast majority of people in this country really respect and appreciate you. And this whole room can say that very strongly. You've really been a tremendous help. You opened up a lot of eyes as to what could be done. And we just want to thank you very much. And, you're invited to stay as long as you want. At some point, I guess, he wants to get back home to his cars.
I see your point. This is like the swan song here for Elon Musk.
He's done an incredible job. Okay. 150.
All right. So we'll get to this Brown student, too, coming up. You get in first, though, at 855-839-12.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Oh, tap. All right, it is Dom time, as I said. 1:30, we're going to talk with Brown student Alex Shea. And I don't like artificial intelligence, but this was used greatly. He's at Brown, $90,000 a year. Just as an aside, I want to be critical. I'm going to ask him, is it worth it, that piece of paper that says Ivy League? That's where the debate's got to be today. Is it still that ticket? And he says, I differ with him a little bit. He says the reason for the high cost of college, you have so many non-teachers on the payroll. I think it's close to 3,000 at Brown, which isn't that big. And he writes him a Doge question like Elon Musk. What do you do all day? We'll tell you how he puts it. I think the high cost of college is because they can get away with it. Come on. And when are Republicans going to take them on? I know Trump's taken on Harvard over some of their indoctrination. I'm talking the cost. And the way to do that is to accredit cheaper and cheaper colleges. The way to do that is to call them out and say, just because you go to Harvard, it's almost meaningless versus any other four-year situation. Are you kidding me? And that's why they can charge. They just charge whatever they want to charge. I would tell them, charge $100,000. Charge $200,000. You'll have dopes that will pay that to go there. $90,000 at Brown, and yet they still coach students on how to get food stamps because some of these people are overextended and can't afford it. So let me take one on our side question. Paul in Whitehall. Hey, Paul, good afternoon. What do you have today?
Good afternoon, Dom. Hey, first of all, tomato sauce is the main ingredient in Italian gravy. So there, that settles that. The other thing is Adam West was the best Batman. Keaton came close, but Adam West is definitely the best.
I would agree with you. And Ben Affleck, I mean, what can Ben Affleck play? And yet he's an Oscar winner.
Are we overlooking Christian Bale here?
That's an interesting.
And Robert Pattinson. Yeah, they were all good, but they're not the best.
Interesting.
They were, a lot of them were good, but they're not the best.
All right.
Adam West was the best.
All right. I like how you sniffed out all of those knockoffs. Joe in Bordentown, Roe told me this one to bring up today. Joe, what's yours today?
Mine is Hydrox versus Orioles. And here's the thing. Hydrox was introduced in 1908, and the Orioles was 1912. So actually, Orioles is the knockoff.
So you're saying Oreos are the knockoff to that, though?
Yeah, because Hydrox was introduced 4 years before that.
Well, but isn't it the taste? Isn't it the quality?
No? Oh, yeah, yeah. The Oreos are much better than Hydrox.
All right, Joe. Well, that's the point. That's like the chocolate chip in the thing. All right, so I'll put you down for that, Joe. It's a little bit muddled. All right, coming up, as I said. And I'm waiting, you know, I don't know what else I can do. Jersey for the governor's race. Jack Cianarelli, you're going to be the nominee. You got to do a Jersey Doge. We'll try to get him on as this primary continues and tell him to do that. There are outrageous spendings in Jersey. If you find the right one, you're going to turn this person even more against whoever the Democrat nominee is. We know we had one before, and this group of assembly people told us they were going to be doing it. Well, this kid did it at Brown. Wait until you hear this story. Alex Shea will join us next here on Talk Radio 1210. All right, all-time great story that I saw on Fox News today. Alex Shea is a student at Brown University. I believe that he used AI in some of this. Software engineer, journalist, bylines in the Boston Globe. And I think he's a sophomore. Headline: student who angered non-faculty employees for Doge-like email faces punishment from the school. They ought to give this kid a added scholarship. Or here, take $40,000 off. You're putting into play exactly what are you doing here? Now, his theory on why college at Brown costs so much is a little bit different than mine. It's part of mine. But let's see what Alex has to say here on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Alex, thanks so much for joining us. And good work. You've really churned up some excitement there at Brown.
Yeah, thank you for having me. So essentially what I did, you described it pretty well, is I sent out an email. I'm a reporter for the Brown Spectator, which is one of our newspapers here on campus. And I emailed all the administrators because I was running a story on the administration and doing some data analysis with AI on who's important, who's redundant. Because just so your audience knows, there are like about 3,800 administrators at Brown, which is insane. When you consider
how many
the fact
students?
That there's only about 7,000 undergrads, make it 10K if you include grad students.
Right.
No, only like 1,600 professors. So it's an absurd number. That is a trend, though, across the Ivy League, across academia in general. We've seen a very large increase in the number of administrators since like the 90s. And you know what's happened in the same time? Tuition has skyrocketed, even when you're adjusting for inflation.
Yeah, without a doubt. Well, I differ with you slightly. I would fold my theory, and we can get into of why it costs $90,000 at Brown is because they can, because we place too much emphasis on a particular piece of paper. So you're a smart guy, Alex. Is it worth it, though? Your analysis, $90,000 a year, I don't know if you're getting some scholarship money to be $360,000, give or take, and everything else. Will that piece of paper pay off for that kind of fee?
So that's the thing, is that as of now, it seems like the studies show just barely. The Ivy League is just barely worth it. But I guess that there was a Bloomberg study last year that shows that private schools that aren't like top tier aren't worth it anymore because you're not going to make up that difference. I still think there is a bit of your theory is probably right that there it's a bit of a signal that if you have Harvard or Yale or one of these top schools on your resume, that you're probably going to get paid more. And so to some extent, that justifies the cost a little bit, but just because they can doesn't mean they should. I guess it's not accessible to people who are low income. I know people who aren't coming to Brown because they say it costs too much. And I don't know if you know this, but Congress has just opened an investigation into all 8 Ivy League schools for price fixing, for anti-competitive practices, and violations of the Sherman Antitrust Act. And this has a lot to do with their need to pay for all this administration. They're charging these high prices because they can, but then they just waste it on the administration. And among these anti-competitive practices are, for example, forcing students at Brown to be on the meal plan for the first 2 years, to live in on-campus housing for the first 2 years. And these things are overpriced compared to if you just were to live off campus or get your food somewhere else, buy groceries. But the reason why they overcharge you is because they run this out of profit to subsidize the administration.
Yeah. So let's go into, here's the genius of this. I'm so glad. I try to encourage people in Jersey to do this, legislators. You doing it at a college is a first. Some of the responses you got when you asked them about their job and what they do were probably threatening or profane, I hear.
Yeah, that does seem to be the case. And there weren't all too many because Brown told people not to respond. And we've seen the same result at a bunch of other campuses too. Yeah, just yesterday I worked with some folks at the Columbia Sundial, which is their newspaper over at Columbia in New York. And the administration called it a doxing campaign because they emailed people with my help about what their jobs are. The administration is not happy, but it seems like they're stretching the rules to get back at somebody who's just criticizing them fairly, I think.
So some that responded, did any of them tell you what their job was and what they, and you seem like a polite guy. You didn't do it, you know, just tell me what you did or you're going to be fired. You don't have any power. Did any of them say, wait a minute, buddy, here's what I do?
Yeah, I mean, we did get some pretty good responses about people that had pretty important jobs. And okay. I'm not saying that all these people are useless or that most of them are useless. I'm just trying to figure out what's going on. And I don't think it's unfair as a journalist to be like, hey, can you tell me a bit about what you do? I mean, this is, they're coming after me for, like you mentioned, disciplinary charges. And I think it's really funny when you boil down to what these charges are. One charge is for misrepresentation. And get this, they're saying I misrepresented myself as a reporter because the Brown Spectator, the outlet that I write for, is not registered with the Student Activities Office because instead it's an independent nonprofit registered just in Rhode Island. But they're saying that's a misrepresentation. But the kicker is that our big liberal newspaper, the Brown Daily Herald, also has the same legal status, and nobody ever comes after their reporters for IDing themselves as journalists. So I just think they're saying it's not because they disagree with me because I violated these obscure provisions of the Student Code of Conduct, but I think it's pretty clear that it's retaliation.
Yeah, without a doubt. And look, I knew that there were an unbelievable number, but for that number of about 7,000 students to have half or more there as administrators, that right there is something that drives up the cost. Alex, have you looked at one of the things that I've looked at over the years? I write about this and I do a lot of education thing. People use me. I'm a former teacher. Is accrediting a college. There's a monopoly here that takes out some colleges that would be more cut rate, drive down cost. It wouldn't be the Ivy League, but it would be competitive against some colleges, at least. Have you thought about that?
Yeah, I mean, I do think there is a little bit. I'm a libertarian, and so we don't like regulatory capture that much. I think you're seeing that with like the University of Austin, which is sort of this new free
yes.
speech college that's not accredited because you have to graduate a full class to get accredited or something like that. And I think that sure that absolutely is a way that they're trying to preserve a monopoly by keeping out their competition.
So I'm seeing your background here of what you did to get this information, but do you want to be a journalist? Is that it? Or are you more of a high-tech guy?
I think I'm a little bit of both. I think that's what makes me the most effective, is that I have the journalistic instincts. I've obviously got bylines in the Boston Globe, a lot of places, but I also have the technical skills to be able to send out these emails and to analyze people for overlap and redundancy. And so I think that's what I want to do to make an impact on the world. So I guess you're seeing these days that it's people who have sort of skills across various domains who are able to unveil these uncomfortable truths that people who are more part of the establishment rather just want to sweep under the rug. And so I guess I want to help in any way that I can. But I do think that journalism doesn't have much innovation. And so maybe I'd love to bring some innovation there to this field.
It is. You know, warts and all, and there were some with the Doge guys, you would be a great addition because you sound reasonable and buttoned up in that manner, yet you have both skills, and that's what you need to unmask this stuff. What did you think of what they did, what they found in the federal government?
I think it's crazy that obviously Brown is bloated, but it's nothing compared to the federal government. And I think it's a shame that how all our taxpayer dollars are being wasted on these bureaucrats, and it's unclear what they do. One funny story I saw is that they have like the retirement paperwork in some salt mine in somewhere or something
yes.
like that. I just think that this is crazy, and nobody speaks out about this, and I guess. I'm a big fan of what they're doing because I think that taxes are insane. I think a lot of things are insane, and this is the problem with when you have these sort of entities that aren't operating with profit motives, like these nonprofit Ivy League schools or the government, is that there's no reason not to waste your money. So we'll just do it. And to the detriment of really everybody involved.
Well, I have you here on Brown's campus. What has been their stance around DEI? Harvard seems to be trying to masquerade a bit, getting rid of affinity groups, but undercover maybe still doing it. How about at Brown?
Yeah, it's unclear. They've not announced. Brown, like Harvard, has been announced that it's going to lose its federal funding. It's unclear if they're going to comply or not. There's a lot of protesters who are outside my dorm every morning who are telling the Brown administration, do not comply, do not comply. So it sounds like there are a lot of students that want to keep up the DEI. But I guess people just need to speak up. I guess I recently, as part of this project, I launched a legal tool at trialhouse.com, which lets you send sort of a cease and desist letter almost to these schools and tell them, hey, comply with the Civil Rights Act. And I mean, that's essentially what the Trump administration is doing. And Harvard said they weren't going to budge, but it looks like maybe they might budge. So I guess that these are all important developments in making America more fair, more meritocratic. I guess I just want to underscore that's what I'm fighting for, is for meritocracy. Because when you're charging like $90,000 a year and there's price fixing involved, so that the people that get the scholarships, it might not be enough. That's not meritocratic, because it makes Brown a place for rich kids, not for smart kids. And I think that's wrong, because the Ivy League, like I mentioned, it does increase your earning potential because that it's a very prestigious brand. And I think it should be allocated to elite, I guess it just depends on what we mean by elite school. Do we mean people who are elite based on their merit, or people who are elite more in an aristocratic way, or their legacies, they're able to donate money to have buildings, they have the right ideologies. And I guess it's important that we restore the meritocratic version of elite schools.
Would you be able to figure out how many are legacy currently at Brown? I bet you if you sat down and thought about it, given your skills and perspective, you could.
Yeah. I mean, I'm a legacy at Brown, and I think it's uncomfortable that legacies get a leg up in the process. I don't like a DEI. I don't like legacy. I don't like anything that's anti-meritocratic, because I believe that this should be a place that's open to everybody based on their skills. And I think that that's just being perverted like crazy
right.
these days. And maybe it never was meritocratic in the first place, but it's certainly not meritocratic now. And I guess this is a moment where people are realizing that the emperor has no clothes and people are demanding change.
Well, Alex, I'm writing your name down. I hope to call upon you again. And also, I salute you. The combination of being that skill of some of the things you've launched and journalistic rigor, yeah, you're going to make a difference, Alex. So thank you very much and hope to talk with you again soon.
Thank you for having me on.
You are welcome. Alex Shea here, impressive, tells you still on college campuses, there are smart people, and a guy who's launched stuff that sends a cease and desist letter to Harvard and Yale. Oh, God. Have to hook up with him. How are they going to punish this guy? Well, they got to. You can't be sending all these bureaucrats, these administrators. Well, what do you do? Can you explain your job? All right, 855-839-1210. That's how you get on board. Hit us on the side question, too. Hey, spring is here. Don't let stiff or achy joints hold you back. Rescue Natural Supplements is proud to bring you Rescue Glyco Plus, this incredible supplement specially formulated to support joint comfort, flexibility with a powerful blend of green-lipped muscle complex and UC2 collagen. This unique combination helps maintain healthy cartilage and promote smoother, more comfortable joint movement. And right now, Rescue Glyco Plus is buy one, get one free for anyone with our exclusive radio code. Just use that code RELIEF. Double up your order for free. Again, that's RELIEF. Call them today at 800-26-ALIVE, 800-262-5483. Speak to a knowledgeable rescue product consultant. You can also use the code online when you visit res-q.com, res-q.com. Get back into action with less pain, more comfort. Use that code RELIEF, RELIEF. Buy one, get one free on Rescue Glyco Plus. All right, you just heard that. I'll be there, too. Probably around 5 o'clock, the Great American Pub. What a night it's going to be in Phoenixville. Rich broadcasting live. I think Dawn and Nick will be there before we head over for the VIP and then the show itself, which God knows all the stuff that will happen over the next 6 days around that. Here's something, and look, I don't want to go into the weeds again on this, but the NFL draft, the spectacle of a guy dropping from the top 2, 3, 5, whatever it was, to the fifth round, Shedeur Sanders. Now the NFL, look, America just wants crack cocaine of NFL football, so they don't care how bad this group is. They have fined the coach, and look, he's got a 21-year-old son. You know, I don't know how protected he had to be with a phone. It's not about the phone number. This prank was wrong. The kid should be punished. But we're the NFL making this, and race is involved in it somehow or another. They fined him $100,000, and they fined the Falcons $250,000, as if this were secret CIA information that went out. Okay? Shouldn't have done it, was wrong, was hurtful when you're dropping quite like that. But again, the in my mind, they're just a despicable organization, the NFL. People don't care. They can do anything. They are going to ban the tush push. And people will line up for NFL football. They're going to ban it, and they're going to say something along the lines of player safety, and yet they're agitating, and you'll see more of it, for 18 games. You know these guys.
Oh, yeah.
At the ability level and speed and everything else. It's not like the old NFL. We know about CTE. Now the players know about it. They're compensated. 18 games is just, well, that's 18, then playoffs. Ridiculous. I don't care, though. They're people that, you know, making a lot of money, making decisions. Don't talk about player safety. You just don't like the push-tush because you're about parity, and this is something other teams somehow or another can't do. So it takes some kind of drama out, and that's why you don't want the tush-push. People will let you do whatever. What could the NFL do that would have people not want it? And the answer is they're too big to fail. They can do anything.
Back to the Falcons there for a second with the prank call.
Yeah.
I get the sense that you think $250K and $100 for Jeff Ulbrich was too much. What would you have done in that scenario?
Nothing. Why should they be fined for that?
Because they messed up. Jeff Ulbrich can't be that careless to leave an iPad around, you know, so his son can pick it up, go through it, find Shedeur Sanders' number to go prank call.
These are not CIA, though. It's not the CIA.
I'm not saying it, but there has to be some sort of repercussion so that you don't do this again.
Well, that's the punishment of the son, I guess, and he ought to be made to apologize and do that.
I'm sure he's going
to
owe his dad $100 grand now.
But $100,000, and with the Falcons, you can say it's chicken feet and all, but they're doing it, though. Cooper DeJean, it happened. Was there a full investigation? Not the same thing, because it wasn't as hurtful.
I think the only reason there's an investigation into this one is because Jax, he's Jeff Ulbrich's son, was in the video of them giving the prank call. So that's the only reason. Like, that's the only evidence they had to be like, oh, something needs to happen. Like, obviously, there was some sort of sharing of information that shouldn't have happened.
I think there's these other elements involved there, too. I just, look.
Gotta be better than that.
I can be critical of them all that I want. I don't care. I don't like them. I don't like the whole thing. So maybe that's my attitude. America just says, let them do what they want. We don't care. We want football. I get it. It's too big to fail. Catholic Church, too big to fail. Apple, let them do whatever they want. That's what I put it at. Look at the stuff that they do. I mean, look at the guy that's their front man. My God. The commissioner.
Goodell, yeah.
Well, yeah. So people don't care. They want football. They'll put up with anything.
I agree with that.
Yeah, that's what it is. I get it. It's America. Okay, coming up, Giuseppe is here, all the way from Italy, where he says they say sauce, but we'll give you, I want to ask him really, October, the fall is beautiful in Sicily, what we're going to see on this big trip. I know tons of people have signed up. Others, though, have called, gotten all the details. You got to finalize. Seeing Sicily with Ro, me, and Talk Radio 1210 listeners, nothing like it. So jump on board. Hit us on the side question. It's a great one today here on Talk Radio 1210.
Tom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.